When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And if you want a personalized love note from me and ZD, from ZD and me each week, go to sewhere.com/love note. To get our weekly newsletter, Love Note. How do you like that, Mom?
Yeah, I guess I'll be writing some notes.
You'll be writing some love notes. So anyway, you get a handwritten love note when you order from us, right, Mom?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And my hand's getting, really tired of writing.
I know. We had to limit the...
Well, not only that, is I tried to make them all very original and specific to the person, and I don't know if I can do that anymore.
Well...
It's hard on me.
We'll just up the price. No. Okay.
But, you know, if you keep those notes long enough, you might be able to sell them on the internet.
Someone told me that they keep our notes, hanging up in their sewing room. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's really cool.
I know. I thought it was neat, too. Well, I carry all of you around in my pocket, in my phone.
Absolutely.
Right? Because of the Self-Sewn Wardrobe Facebook group.
Right.
Man, that group is just the coolest.
I know. It's always good, and it's uplifting, and it's...
I know. You know why I know it's the coolest? Because I am in some terrible Facebook groups, and this is the coolest group.
Well, or you go to your regular Facebook page, and you're like, oh, my God, these people are just whining and carrying on.
It's the best part of Facebook. Let me just segue into our topic here, because I kind of have something about Facebook groups, too, in here. And our topic is, what advice and whose advice do you take? We'll start off with sewing first. In the first place. You know, I just went on a little rant today in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group. I did a little live video. A sewing rant, because someone just asked, they said, do you sew over pins? And most people said,
no,
I don't sew over pins, or on accident sometimes, or I think Fred actually said something like, I'm very confident I won't sew over them, but every once in a while it happens.
It happens.
I do my best to, you know.
Right.
And I had written a blog post about this, and it's called, you know, Can I Sew Over Pins?
Oh, well, that's a good title
You can sew.
You can do whatever you want.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
So what's our advice about sewing over pins? Let's just talk
about
that.
Oh, okay. Well,
talk about that first.
And I will tell you, I have had teachers or our cohorts or whatever in the sewing industry tell me I could sew over pins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your machine manufacturer will tell you no, and I will tell you no.
I will tell you no, too.
And this gets to the point about whose advice do you take or respect or decide, you know, you want to take, or is it valid or what? When I explain to people in our guide classes or whatever, you really don't want to sew over pins. And they go, oh, what my mother always did, or my grandmother always did. And she may have. And she may have had a treadle machine and all that. I've heard all the stories about, you know, who learned to sew on what kind of machine. But it's not a good idea.
Right.
And, you know, there is a theory out there that, oh, the pin will just slip, you know, down over the needle. Well, it really doesn't. It will bend your needle.
Well, I guess sometimes it does.
If it barely misses it.
Yeah.
But if you're on that needle.
If you're on the pin with your needle.
If you hit the pin with your needle, more than likely you are bending your needle.
Yeah.
Now, it might not break that time. And it might not break next time. But, you know, eventually it's going to break. The other thing is on our computerized machines, what we have to be really careful of is those machines are set by the computer to sew.
Yeah.
Right? The computer circuitry says, do a stitch, you know, down needle, down needle, down needle.
Right.
And it does not allow for any writing over pins. In fact, it will force itself through a pin.
Well, sometimes the computerized machines have the safety device.
Right, and they'll say
it'll stop you from getting it out of time. So you see, it won't let you. It won't let you sew over the
pin. So what is it telling you?
It's telling you
you shouldn't be sewing over pins. Right,
and then so a few people were commenting, and I wrote just in all caps, "Don't sew over pins." And then I more calmly shared the blog post where I go into a little bit more detail. And what I said was in the blog post that I think is sort of key is when people talk about sewing over pins. Technically, yes, missing the pin completely would be fine, but what ends up happening is that we make the mistake of trying to make our machine sew through a pin, despite our best intentions. And would you just, like, run a piece of sheet metal through your machine?
Well, here's the other thing. Leaving that pin in while you're making that seam actually distorts your seam some.
Oh, nice.
So if you're talking about nice seams... My advice, my real advice is with as few pins as possible, maybe none.
Yeah. I hate to tell people, I wanted to make sure in this broadcast I say, I use pins.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to say the reason I don't sew over pins is because I don't use them.
Right.
Like, I want to make sure people know that we use pins.
Right.
Now, we will tell you and teach you many ways to avoid using so many pins.
But sometimes say you, for instance, when you're quartering elastic to put it in a circle, I pin those four corners.
When I set a sleeve in a t-shirt.
But I take them out when I get there.
Right. When I set a sleeve in a t-shirt, I pin at the two side seams, the underarm seam and the side of the t-shirt, okay? And then I pin at the center of the arm side.
Oh, the underarm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The shoulder and the side seam.
The shoulder and the side seams.
That's what those are called.
I pin those two places.
Right.
Okay. I just call them the side seams.
Well, but those are because so what we're saying is a lot of times what we use pins for are landmarks.
More a landmark than a holding the fabric in place.
Right.
That's very true. Okay. Well, let's kind of get to the crux of the issue here because, people will be like, well, my grandmother sewed over pins or da-da-da-da-da. And I never met your mother, right?
Right.
Okay, I grandmother figures.
Didn't matter because she didn't sew.
There you go. Okay, but I would never say, Zelda, maybe I would. Zelda, go ask ZD, go ask Sugar about this, and whatever she tells you must be correct.
Someone said not too long ago in the self-sewn wardrobe page, They were addressing me and they said, Dee Dee, I'm in this other sewing group and I told everybody you have to thread your machine, with your presser foot up or it won't get in your tension. And apparently she was met.
With some resistance.
Yeah. And people saying, I've sewn, here's what I like.
I love
when everybody
this.
Says they've sewn all their life and they know everything. No, you don't. Because nobody does.
No, and we don't think we know everything.
No, we're just telling you what we know from our experiences. And when I answer a question, say on a Facebook question or something, I will say, this is my experience.
Right.
Or I'm pretty sure of this because I've been doing this for 100 years and I'm not familiar with that part of what you're talking about.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I don't make anything up and I don't want to be right or I don't have to be right.
Right. The other thing I showed, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier just now, but I showed the bobbin case in my little rant today.
Yeah. Well, have you ever?
So, just goes,
yes.
I've got
a big
some
chunk out of
proof.
It.
Okay,
yeah.
And what can happen when your machine gets out of time, okay, which can happen if you run into a pin. I have proof here, and then also...
And it's $150 to $200 worth of proof.
Yeah, the other thing is, if you... A lot of people don't understand that when your bobbin case is scarred, it makes a clunking sound, and people think it's something else.
Or
a
sometimes
lot of people,
it can even make even just a buzz almost, not even that clunk.
It also will shred upper thread.
Right.
Even though it's a bobbin case,
it will
shred upper thread.
Right.
And then people are like, oh, no, my
upper thread.
So I just wanted to show them all that, right?
Right.
And so I just, I've got a reason to tell you not to sew over pin. And, how much freaking time does it take you to swipe that pin away?
The only reason I tell people to thread with their presser foot up is because I want them to be successful.
Oh, you don't
It has nothing to do with my ego.
You don't make $1 million every time you say that?
No.
Okay.
I, you know, there's no royalties off of that. It amazes me that I go, you know, I go to YouTube to research what's out there.
Yeah.
Not particularly for answers.
Right.
And I cannot tell you how many thread your sewing machine videos are out there that do not say raise your presser foot.
Yep. Yep.
And they've got, so, you know, you go to this site. A lot of times it's dealer backed or even looks like it could be like
company
backed, you know, manufacturer backed. And they don't say to raise your presser foot. And those are the people that we get coming in, go, you know, that haven't, or somebody hasn't bought from a dealer and said, well, I watched this, you know, movie here, or this video here. And I said, did they tell you to raise your presser foot? Why no? And if you tell me your grandmother never did that and she sewed perfectly, it was because her tension disc was on the outside and she could see it and she could force her thread in.
Or you're wrong.
Or she's lying.
Or you had this contact with your grandmother.
You
want to
believe your grandmother's perfect.
No. And you forgot that she raised the presser. I just don't. People are like,
you forgot Granny wasn't perfect.
No, or like they're like, my grandmother taught me to sew. She died when I was 8, and I was like, okay, well, like, you know, maybe you didn't remember everything. You know, okay, so we're gonna get back to the grandma thing, and you all can be like really mad at me for insulting the memory of your grandmother while we take this message break. Mom, I've done it.
Uh oh.
I have found the perfect laundry spray bottles, sourced them, found the perfect labeling stickers, and brought them to the public.
And what do you put in them?
We put vodka in one of them and your special Distain stain removal solution in the other. And they are aluminum 16-ounce bottles. Not too heavy.
I was going to say, perfect weight, perfect size.
Not too heavy when you fill them. Perfectly portable for taking around your house, leaving in your laundry room, or out to your car to deodorize it after your baby's puked in it.
So, do you give my Distain recipe to the world free?
I do. We give it away for free. And if you go to sewhere.com/clothingcare, you will see these spray bottles. And you can use a special discount code, VODKA, to get 20% off the laundry spray bottles from ZD Sewing Studio.
Good deal. So happy.
Sewing out loud.
Okay, we're back from the message break. And I just want to, one more thing before you tell your awesome
reference. You know what's going to happen?
Right.
We're going to get a lot of arrogance remarks.
I know.
All we're trying to do is help,
We just attracted a lot of one-star
reviews. I'm telling you, all I want you to do is love to sew.
Okay, here's the deal about the I've sewn all my life and the grandma thing and everything. And if anybody's wondering, I'm 27 and I have like 30 gray hairs right now. So I've got just a little bit of age on me.
She's so old.
I'm not as old as Edie. Okay, here's the thing. I will have people come in the store, and this actually happens, everybody, and they'll say, I sewed all my kids' clothes.
I know this story.
I have been sewing for 40 years. And they most of the time they bring that up because they like don't want to do a machine lesson when we sell them a machine.
Yeah, for some reason people like to get out of instruction, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, so I will say it's a good idea to come and get this little lesson before you take the machine away because this machine's different from other machines that you've used. And they are. Like, they'll have a computer in them or something, you know. And so they're finally convinced to come to the lesson. And then we're in the lesson and they say, oh, can you teach me how to set in a sleeve? And I forgot how to put in a zipper, or I never did buttonholes, or they'll start to say things like this. And
so
I'm like,
all those children had sleeveless clothes. They were wearing caftans.
I'm like, what's going on, everybody? So when we're talking about experience and whatnot, and whose advice you take, I think it's important that you do get, like, some kind of proof. You showed me a video, and I will not mention who published this video, about a person who just was like, here's how to make leggings.
Yes, I about died.
And, you know,
I about died.
She gave the proof right there that she was unqualified because she put them on.
Oh, they were horrible.
They looked terrible.
I can't imagine people are doing this, that they think they look okay.
I I can't imagine. Okay, if I thought I had a really good tutorial,
right,
and then I made it, and then I look like crap, I'd be like, oh, right. I can't publish this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, Mom, tell your advice parable here.
I just think it's people and their perception of things sometimes, uh-huh. right?
Okay.
And I don't know, but I really like the movie, you know, Your Cousin Vinny.
My cousin Vinny.
Okay. See, my perception's off, right? So, and there's at one point where Joe Pesci is the, you know, attorney.
Yeah.
The defending attorney is questioning the eyewitness on the stand. And he says, so, you know, isn't it possible that, you know, my clients went in and then you went to cook your breakfast and then they came out and you didn't see them and another set of people went in and came out. And so the other people that came out that were not facing towards you was a different set of people. And he says, no, because it only takes me 5 minutes to cook my breakfast. And he goes, well, what'd you have for breakfast? Well, he names off, you know, eggs, bacon, and grits.
Uh-huh.
And Joe Pesci says, so would that be like regular grits or quick grits or grits al dente? And, of course, the guy gives a strange look and goes, well, I guess it's regular grits.
Yeah.
He says, no, you know, no self-respecting
Southerner would use quick grits or instant,
or whatever he called them, grits. And he goes, okay, so how long does it take to cook those grits? And he goes, 20 minutes. And anyway, through this, at the very, you know, end of this back and forth, Joe Pesci goes, so you mean to tell me in your kitchen that, you know, all laws of
time and space.
Yeah, time and space and physical, you know, chemistry or whatever cease to exist when you're making your grits, and you can make 20-minute grits in 5 minutes. Well, anyway, that happens to us a lot.
And you know who in that historic
but it's,
case,
you know that's just
won.
Being a person.
It is. It's just, it's like anything else. I'm sure there are a lot of other hobbies and stuff where this happens.
Okay, paddleboarding. I got to get to talk about my paddleboarding.
Okay, then I get to talk about my thing next. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, so... So, you know, I got into this paddleboarding thing and I didn't know anything. So I did have to go on YouTube. I didn't have to, but that's where I went. And, you know, we're in the middle of the damn country. Not many people are doing
it. I'm going to have to mark this explicit again.
Okay. So anyway, I'm watching. I'm thinking I want to stay up and do this for like hours at a time. So I got to watch some videos.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm only good for 20 minutes at a time.
Right.
Okay. So I'm watching all these videos and... So I'm just paddling along, and your dad's sitting on the dock, and he goes, you got your paddle backwards. And I said, I don't think so, because from what I have derived from all of the YouTube videos I have watched is that more than often the logo goes, you know, towards the front.
Uh-huh.
And the paddle, unlike your kayak paddle, is actually angled 10 to 20% up towards the front. And he goes, no, that, and okay, my husband is like a scientist. He's, you know, geology man, knows all about all this stuff, and he knows all about, you know, water and how it runs and what it
does. And bugs.
And yeah, real good entomology person. And I swear he makes the names up to those bugs. But anyway, I said, I wasn't going to fight him.
Yeah.
I said, oh, I don't know. I said, guess we'll have to look that up. Didn't say a thing. So when we get back to the condo, I see him over there on his computer, and he gets really, really quiet.
What were we? Okay, well, I know this happens between you and me all the time. Oh, well, I remember the one thing it happened with, but I want to talk about something else that
talk about to me. Your stuff.
I'm talking about my stuff. So this business that we have is just growing and evolving all sorts of different ways, and I told you to go to sewhere.com/lovenote, right? And I'm trying to build our brand into something that is just even more amazing than it already is, okay? So I'm part of some of these
right.
terrible Facebook groups.
Okay.
And it's just full of people trying to sell you stuff.
Right, of course.
For marketing. And, you know, it's really I think it's really easy to try and sell marketing courses. Because
nobody knows the real answer
well,
anyway.
Well, that's
right.
true, too. The other thing is, unlike the EZT course, like if somebody gets through the EZT course and they don't have an EZT that fits,
right,
they should talk to me like I should help them and stuff.
Right.
But if somebody goes through a marketing course and their thing doesn't work, like that's nobody's fault but their own.
That's
maybe,
right. They didn't
you know?
Do it
right. Yeah. That, oh, your product didn't work. So these people don't have any like, what's the word? Like commitment or accountability.
Accountability, I would say, yeah.
And I finally did. I'll just give a little shout out. A little shout out. Like she needs a shout out for me. I signed up for Abby Glassenberg's email jumpstart course.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I signed up for her course about email because she has a big, engaged, thoughtful following of people in the creative area.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're people who sew, they're people who make things, people who design things. And I just know that she, and I get her newsletter.
And that makes her valid to you.
Yeah, I get her newsletter right. every week and it's amazing. And I want my newsletter to be amazing and I want it to reflect who we are. I want our newsletter to be a love note.
Right.
You know, I want it to go past what's going on at the shop.
So that's
you know?
What, right.
And so I am taking this class from her because I've seen the results.
Right.
So hopefully when people see like me in my ginger jeans, you in your leggings, Sam in the EZT, Becca in the EZT, you in the EZT, da, 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 like we hopefully have proven, hey, this, you know, can work.
Right.
Or when someone takes our advice and then is successful, like there we go, you right. know.
Now here's another thing. I just want to bring this up too. Sometimes there's more than one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
so,
that's a good
so
point.
So don't jump
that's
on someone. Now, there's
you have
only
to
one
with your
way.
Foot up.
I was going to say, you have to thread with your press foot up. That's one way.
Well, okay. There is a place where this does not exist, okay? These long arm and mid arm sit down
right.
quilting machines.
Right.
Just in case anybody wants to leave the 1-star review about this,
okay?
These quilting machines that don't have presser foot
right.
levers, okay?
Right.
All right, go on.
Okay. But there's more than one way to do something.
Yeah, there
okay.
is. There
and
is.
And my example would be that someone came in and I think they you know they had recently purchased and were new to embroidery machine.
Uh-huh.
And I believe they asked me about embroidering on a knit. And I said, well, here's what you're going to have to do. It's different than, you know, embroidering on, you know, a woven stable
mm-hmm.
fabric. And
mm-hmm.
you have to use this stabilizer and you have to do this. And, you know, you may want, you know, you'll have to do this. And there was a person standing there and they said, that's not what you told me. Now, the person that was standing there had been a customer for probably 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And I said, so what did I tell you?
Yeah.
Right? And she reiterated what I told her. And I said, that's exactly what I would have told you 5 or 6 years ago. There are now new products.
Uh-huh.
And she says, oh, should I be using the new product? And I said, well, we can introduce you to it. But if you are happy with what you're doing now, you don't have to buy the new product.
Sure, sure.
You know, but this is a new product that's out now. And, you know, we started using it and we like it. And that's how we teach now.
Well, I will say it's nice to give advice and help people when we can. I think that we're sure. Like, I really, if somebody asks a question and I don't know the answer, I don't try to make it up or anything. But what's really frustrating from a teaching perspective is when someone's having a lot of trouble getting the result they want.
Right.
And you try to give them advice and they're like, no, that won't work.
Right.
Before they try it. And so if you're trying to listen to advice, you know, if you've found
if you
trust,
don't want, well, if you don't want advice, don't take it.
Or don't ask
but
for
don't
it.
But don't waste
you know?
Somebody's time,
right.
you know, asking for advice and then give them trouble
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, it's and that's the kind of the cool thing about the self-sewn wardrobe group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any questions are sort of like asked lightly. They're right. really thoughtful. And I'm not saying,
well,
like, don't be afraid to ask a question. But when people ask questions, it's coming from the place like they're actually sewing. And I just love it. I just think
well,
it's great.
And the other thing is you can get unsolicited advice.
Yep.
And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not.
Right.
And, you know, you also have to have some sort of radar or some sort of filtering system where you go, well, I'll listen to what they're saying. Maybe I'll, and, you know, especially on the internet, you know, I mean, Google something and it has 10,000 hits. Well, and they're not all right.
It is hard.
They're not all correct.
It is hard when you're, you know, when you see someone's advice. What I find hard is someone ask a question and then I see someone's advice and I'm like, that just doesn't sound right.
Right.
You know, and
I've seen things where I've thought, that is terribly wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make that person feel bad.
Right. And I think we're good about saying, I would maybe try this first or something else.
And a lot of times I will preface my, you know, my statements with, this is what I've done in the past.
Right.
This is what I know from my experience. And I'm telling you what worked for me. And, you know, but yeah, sometimes it's hard. You know, you don't want to tell somebody they're wrong.
Right.
But free advice sometimes is so great. Or unsolicited
there
advice.
There you go. There
right.
You go.
You know, we even get that when we're teaching class, that the person speaks up and goes, oh, well, you can do this. And we have to figure out how to say to the rest of the members in the class, no, don't do that.
Right. It's hard to be diplomatic sometimes.
Right. It's like, don't do that.
And well, we'll talk about problem students in the next podcast.
Oh, no. That'll be a good one. But the thing is that I'm afraid all they're going to remember is they heard it at ZD's.
Yeah.
They don't remember who said it.
Yeah, that can
be
hard.
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
And that's why we have to be really kind of diligent in the group, too, about making sure that, like, good, well-thought-out information
good advice.
Is in there.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of rapport we've built up, you know, in the group. Well, Mom, you got anything else to add before we wrap this guy up?
Well, I'll probably think of something later.
More My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, wrapped
the
up.
Little deer. That's what the
my biological clock.
What's the other one? What are you, some kind of world traveler? That's what I was thinking. Okay, we're at ZD's Sewing Studio on Instagram and also at The Self-Sewn Wardrobe on Instagram. And you can email me at Mallory@sewhere.com. And once again, go to sewhere.com/lovenote to sign up for our love note every week, all right?
And these two utes say,
so long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.